Sometimes I join my parents for breakfast on Fridays, and they live in Springdale. And my father has a funny little routine at the end of his morning meal. He has to take a potpourri of pills for various health issues, like many elderly people do. But before he takes them, he makes sure to count them carefully. So he takes the right number. Of course, my mom, a retired nurse, has already carefully sorted the pills into a pill dispenser and each labeled for a day of the week. There are 12 pills that my father takes of all different colors and shapes and sizes. First, he counts them by fours and makes sure there are three sets of four to equal 12. Then he counts them by sixes, and there are two sets of sixes, so it equals 12. And then he counts them by twos, so there are naturally six pairs of pills equaling 12. But every time, it always comes up to 12 pills, so he knows he's taking the right number. One morning, while watching this almost religious routine, I remarked, "Hey, Dad, your pills are like the 12 apostles. I bet that really big one that is hard to swallow is Judas." And my father answered, "Yes, probably so. But Jesus loved Judas too." And I thought, "Wow, Dad, you're exactly right. Jesus loved Judas too." My father was not preaching to the choir. He was preaching to the preacher that morning. It was a message I needed to hear. And I think we all do. In the gospel today, Jesus is teaching his disciples how to love each other, even how to love Judas as he did, and even chose him as an apostle. He tells them how to correct each other, called fraternal correction, how to pray for things in common, and finally, how to join and gather in Jesus' name for worship, called the Mass. Jesus concludes, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Just like my father gathers his pills together in small groups, but loves them all. So Jesus loves each of us whenever we gather together in his name and celebrate the Eucharist. You see, all of Matthew chapter 18 is about the church and how we are to live in a society of potential saints while still being obviously sinners. And the advice Jesus gave 2,000 years ago is urgently needed today. Let me give you an example. Last week, I had a Zoom video call with a couple currently living in Belgium. The girl is from Fort Smith, but the boy is from Belgium. And they had a lot of questions about Catholicism. Specifically, they wondered why the church in Belgium seemed so liberal, while the church in Fort Smith seemed so conservative. We talked through several issues, but my main advice was always check the catechism of the Catholic Church. Whenever you have a doubt or a question, the book is the benchmark of what all Catholics believe, regardless of your country or your culture. That is, Arkansans might think the Judas pill is the church in Belgium, whereas they might think the Judas pill is the church in Arkansas. But we have to love everyone in the church and swallow the Judas pill, just like Jesus did, and just like my dad does, too. I don't know about you, but sometimes I worry about the church and what is going on inside the church and who I think are the enemies outside trying to destroy the church. Whenever I begin to worry like that, I always reread a passage from Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis. It's a rather long excerpt, but I think it will bring you a great deal of peace, like it does for me. Listen now. "Compared with the development of man, on this planet. The diffusion of Christianity over the human race seems to go like a lightning flash. For 2,000 years is almost nothing in the history of the universe. Never forget that we are all still early Christians. The present wicked and wasteful divisions between us are, let us hope, a disease of infancy. We are still teething. By the way, I love that image of a baby teething on his chew toy. Even in the year 2023, Christianity has only just begun to blossom. Lewis continues, and this is the relevant part for us. The outer world, no doubt, thinks just the opposite. It thinks we are dying of old age. But it has thought that very often before. Again and again, it has thought Christianity was dying. Dying from persecutions from without and corruption from within. By the rise of Mohammedanism, the rise of the physical sciences, the rise of great anti-Christian revolutionary movements. He's talking about Nazism and communism. But every time, the world has been disappointed. Its first disappointment was over the crucifixion. The man, Jesus, came to life again. In a sense, that has been happening ever since. They keep on killing the thing, the church, that he started. And each time, just as they are patting down the earth on its grave, they suddenly hear that it is still alive and broken out in some new place. In other words, Jesus promised in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld will not prevail against it." And that was not an empty promise. Jesus will protect and provide for his church, because the church is really his bride. And if you are worried about the proliferation of Judas pills in and around the church, just remember what Pope St. John the 23rd did. Every night, after doing all he could for the church, he prayed, "It is your church, Lord, and I'm going to bed." And then the Pope got up the next morning and counted his pills. Praise be Jesus Christ.